All right, so if I will ask you in just a few moments what the festival that we're studying today fulfills, I just gave you the answer. So when I ask that question in a few minutes, the answer is Holy Spirit. Okay, just in case you missed it. Okay, the giving of the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's review. For those of you who haven't been here, we're going to show you these festivals that we've been looking at, and they're found in Leviticus chapter 23. We already read the first verse. It said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals." Okay? The appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assembly. So I'm not going to go back too much, but I just want to highlight for those of you who haven't been here and for those of us that maybe like me, they're a little bit slow learners. The more you hear things, the more you remember them. So let's look at these charts and these maps. So what we have here in February, March, and April, we call the Spring Feasts, and their months of Adar and the Sun. And we already talked about Passover. So remember, these are historical events, right? So we know Passover from the Egyptian enslavement of the Israelites and the final plague. And God gave them the command, take the lamb, take its blood, put it on the doorpost. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now we've already, that one was easy for us because we've taken communion a lot over the years and we've heard pastors say that Jesus was the fulfillment of that Passover. And it's his blood that's applied to our hearts. And when he was celebrating, this is the awesome part though, when he was celebrating Passover, those many thousands of years later with his disciples, he took the cup from that meal, from that celebration, and he said, "This is my blood." So we have no question that even Jesus knew that he fulfilled the Passover. Can I have an amen on that? Do you understand that? Isn't that awesome? Okay. Then we had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a little less knowledgeable to those of us, maybe in the Christian environment. We're not Jews. We haven't necessarily been taught these things. But the unleavened bread came immediately after Passover, and God just said to celebrate that too, okay? And the unleavened bread was the idea that they had to take this bread as part of the meal, and it had its significance. But remember we said that the unleavened was because they were going to be in a hurry, they were going to be in the wilderness, and they didn't want it to spoil. And it was the leaven that caused it to rise, but also causes it to spoil. And so leaven symbolizes sin, symbolizes infection, symbolizes spoil. And so once again, we know that Jesus fulfilled the festival on unleavened bread because he was the one without sin. And he took the bread on that same meal and he broke it and he said, "This is my body." What? The unleavened bread is my body. The sinless one broken for us. And so Jesus also fulfilled the unleavened bread, festival of unleavened bread. And then first fruits came right after that. And we waved our barley, remember? And it was to be picked and sheathed. Is that right? Sheaf. There we go. Whatever. Somebody's listening. And anyway, there was a wave before the feast as the first fruit, a symbol of what is to come. And so they were not supposed to do anything with the field. And you can read in other places in the Old Testament. They were not to harvest. They were not to grind the grain. They were not to eat of it until that festival was fulfilled. Because it was a first fruit. It was a sign that God blessed them and that he will continue to bless them and that they will trust that they bring this before him, the harvest would be good and will fulfill their needs. And so Jesus fulfills the harvest or the festival of first fruits because he is the first that is harvested, waved before the Lord as his resurrection, so that our resurrection then is guaranteed. Isn't that awesome? Wow. You see, before it was waved before the priests, the harvest was not acceptable to the Lord. They were not to touch it. It wasn't kosher yet. But once it was presented before the priests, then the harvest could be utilized. It would be harvested. And Jesus presented himself before God on our behalf so that we who aren't the first fruits but are the harvest, the second fruits, will come later. Man, we should just go back to that one and talk about that way more. But if you weren't here for that, it's on our website. Thank you, Patrick, for doing all that for us. Now, we are going to have a slight break. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. And we're going to celebrate, and we're going to talk about the historical Old Testament celebration of Pentecost. Knowing that I gave you the answer, in the life of Jesus, not his ascension, right? But what do you think? What's next? What's fulfilled in the New Testament? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost. What are we going to celebrate today in the fulfillment? What's the answer? The Holy Spirit. Good answer. Good answer. Awesome. In Leviticus chapter 23, before we talk about the New Testament Pentecost, I want to share with you the Old Testament Pentecost. Okay? In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15, from the day after the Sabbath, okay? So the Sabbath is our Saturday. The day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, so we've had the first three festivals, and it's over now. You're going to count off 7 full weeks, count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and present an offering of new grain to the Lord. So this is not the barley, this is now the wheat harvest. From wherever you live, bring in 2 loaves. I want you to notice that. 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of finest flour. We're going to talk about that. Baked with yeast. Isn't that weird? Before it was unleavened bread, no yeast, now it's with yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old and without defect, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They will be a burnt offering to the Lord, together with the grain offerings and drink offerings, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. And then sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 lambs, each a year old, for a fellowship offering. The priest is to wave the 2 lambs. Before, the priest was waving the sheaf of barley. Now the priest is waving 2 lambs before the Lord as a wave offering, together with the 2 loaves. Notice I put the word 2 in there, but that's from before. With the loaves, the 2 loaves of bread of the first fruits. They are a sacred offering to the Lord for the priests. On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment so you understand that this is not a Sabbath. You do no regular work on a Sabbath. This is the day after the Sabbath. Do no regular work. So it's like having 2 Sabbaths in a row. He's saying you've already done no work on the Sabbath. Now this festival, don't do any more work the first day of the week. On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. And then this verse that we talked about a few weeks ago isn't really part of the festivals. It's just part of the whole way that you treat people. When you reap the harvest of the land, do not reap the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. And so there is to be a harvest time, and you are to not reap everything. And we said that this actually shows up in the book of Ruth, when Ruth goes to Boaz's field, and he's harvesting, and he leaves some of that for the poor people. He was actually following this mandate. And when we see these outlined in Leviticus, we see the spring festivals, then we see this verse, and then we see the fall festivals that will start next week. But in the prophetic fulfillment of that chapter, we are at this verse. We're going to fulfill the Pentecost today, and then we're going to talk about how Jesus will fulfill the other festivals. Not how he has fulfilled them, but how he will. Because we're in this verse 23 where there's a harvest time, and we are to help glean the harvest. But let's go to the Old Testament Pentecost. These instructions from God were to count 50 days from the day after the Sabbath. So that's where the name comes from. Right? You know this from somewhere back in your past. Penta means 5 or 50. So Pentecost, that's where this name comes from. 50 days or the 50th day. And so it starts on the first day of the week. So it's really interesting that these celebrations are on the first day of the week. So as we see him fulfilling these things, he fulfills them on the anniversary or on these same festivals, and they're the first day of the week. So he rose from the dead on the first day of the week. We're going to see today that the Holy Spirit came on the first day of the week. And when the Holy Spirit came to them in that upper room, that is the beginning of the church, which is the first day of the week. And so that's where we as Christians began to celebrate everything on the first day of the week. Because of the fulfillment of these great festivals all happen on the first day of the week. So, in that Old Testament celebration of the Feast of Weeks or of Pentecost, it was the wheat harvest, as I mentioned. And the priest was to take 2 loaves, okay? I want you to keep that in mind. And 2 lambs. And we mentioned that the 2 loaves had leaven in them. And we also mentioned that we are to do no work, or they were to do no work, not on Sabbath, already no work, but on this festival, the first day of the week. So there's this extra command, in addition to the wave offerings, to do no work on this first day of the week. So let's talk about that for just a moment. When we get to Acts chapter 2, it says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came. Now, if you've never heard a presentation like this, you're thinking, oh, the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. But what we need to read it as is this. When the celebration and the festival of Pentecost came, okay, they were all together. Just like they were together in the upper room celebrating Passover, now they're together celebrating what? Pentecost. Why? Because they were Jews. They were also waiting because Jesus said, wait, but they didn't know that their waiting was going to be fulfilled on Pentecost. They were just together celebrating Pentecost. Is that helpful for you? And so they were together, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So when we think of Pentecost, this 50, we also can think of something else that was celebrated in the Old Testament, and it was the year of Jubilee. So the year of Jubilee was not in days, it was in years. And so for every 49 years, you count off 49 years, and then the 50th year was the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee, among many other things, is debts were forgiven. And so it was a year of liberation. Now, Pentecost, the Old Testament Pentecost, is like a little jubilee every year. And so you have 49 days, and then on the 50th day, you celebrate Pentecost, and you're celebrating the wheat harvest and all that God has done. And then we move into the New Testament, and now watch this. The Holy Spirit comes on the 50th day. And it certainly is a day of liberation, a day where sins are forgiven, a day where God shows up and is residing in the heart of people and can forgive us from our sins. Now, if we go back to the wave offering and the 2 loaves and the 2 lambs, let's talk about that for just a minute. Why are there 2 loaves? Well, it could possibly be a reference to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. And now I'm talking about the 2 loaves in the Old Testament are now being fulfilled in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so is Christ. And then it goes on to say this, For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile. And so in the Old Testament, you had two loaves weighed before God, which represents not just Jews, but all people. And in the Pentecost, the New Testament fulfillment of that is that now the Holy Spirit is coming, and He's coming not just to Jews, but He's coming to Gentiles. And how do we know that? It's because while they were celebrating there, there were people from all different places. And God's presence and His Spirit is going to pour out on all people. And then there's the lamb sacrifice of the Old Testament Pentecost. And you say, well, did you notice, you probably didn't, but I'm going to point it out to you, that when we talked about the unleavened bread, the celebration of the unleavened bread, there was no lamb sacrifice at that celebration. And if we think about, well, why would God do that in the Old Testament, and how is it fulfilled in the New Testament? Well, because He was the sinless one, He was our sacrifice. He was the unleavened bread. He was the only one that could make the sacrifice for us. But in this illustration of the Pentecost being fulfilled in the people needed a sacrifice. And so the lambs are sacrificed for the whole world, for the Jews and the Gentiles. And so the people have sin. And because the people have sin, there needed to be a sacrifice. Well, how is the sin referenced? Well, the sin is referenced in the loaves have leavened in them this time. Before they didn't have leaven, but now these loaves have leaven to represent the sin of the people. And the lamb is sacrificed for the sin of the people, both Jew and Gentile. But there's another picture that we have here, and that is in the bread. What else was there besides leaven? Did you catch it? Fine flour. And the fine flour seems to indicate that in the New Testament, it is the Holy Spirit that comes to the bread that is filled with yeast now, is also filled with fine flour, the righteousness of Christ through the Spirit. And it's just so neat how God takes the Old Testament picture, fulfills it in Christ, and in this time, He fulfills it in the presence and the power and the filling of this fine and pure Holy Spirit. And then what about this whole thing about the first day of the week? See, there was a rest on Sabbath, but we're celebrating Pentecost on the first day of the week. And He says, also don't rest. Well, that really has a lot for us in the New Testament, because if you turn into Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7, it says this, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Why in the Old Testament would He say, don't work on the first day? Because it points to the New Testament, and the Spirit of God is a gift to us. We don't work for it. We get it. And we don't work for our salvation. It's a gift to us. And these pictures of Pentecost in the Old Testament carry over strongly in many, many ways in the New Testament. And so that's how, if we just take the Old Testament Pentecost, the New Testament fulfillment of it, we can see it just so clearly, even in the scriptures that we have. But there's even more to it than that, and I want to share with you this. The traditions of the Old Testament, the traditions of the Jews of the Old Testament, we know this from other writings. I hope you can follow me. So they're celebrating Pentecost. They're celebrating this Feast of Weeks. They're celebrating the wheat harvest. And that is why it was given to them. But they had a belief, they had a tradition, that the day that God gave them to celebrate this on, in their calendar, when they celebrated Pentecost, they also believed that that was the anniversary of the day that God had given the Old Testament law on Mount Sinai. So when they were celebrating Pentecost, they weren't only celebrating the wheat harvest, they were celebrating the anniversary of God giving them the law. So they had a lot to celebrate. Now, watch this. This is amazing. That when you and I celebrate the Holy Spirit's coming, we also get to compare it to the giving of the law. So now let's do that. Let's compare the giving of the law to the giving of the Holy Spirit. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 9 through 22, here's part of the giving of the law. And the Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. And then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. And on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, and with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, everyone in the camp trembled. And Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. And the Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. And so Moses went up, and the Lord just said to him, go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them will perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, it says, and when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear and they stayed at a distance. The King James version of that verse says thunderings and lightnings, which obviously means that there were a lot of them. It wasn't just one thunder and one lightning, but it was a lot. And you say, well, what does that mean? So I decided, and I don't speak Hebrew, but I was directed by commentators to read Exodus chapter 20 in its original language. Well, since I can't read the original language, I did the next best thing, and I went to what's called the Young's Literal Translation. So what they do is they take the Hebrew and they just bring it down in English just as clearly as they can. And here's what it says in that verse. All the people are seeing the voices. Isn't that interesting? And the flames and the sound of the trumpet and the mount smoking, and the people see and move and stand afar off. Well, one of the things that historians and commentators and Jewish teachers over the years have said about that is that God was in the thunder and lightning speaking to the whole world. And the thundering and lightning were not just noises, but languages. And they taught that all 70 languages of that day were being sounded by God through the thunder and lightning. All 70 that were recorded in Deuteronomy and in Exodus. And so think about that. Now we've got the giving of the law being celebrated on the same day of Pentecost. And now we are celebrating the giving of the Holy Spirit on that same day. And now let's look at these comparisons. God speaks to the people in their languages from the mountain. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 6, and when they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language. The giving of the law and the giving of the Holy Spirit, God spoke to all people because he didn't want them to miss him. In Exodus 32, verse 19, it says this, and when Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And so what happened is God said, stay away, and then Moses was up on the mountain, and he comes down, and he's hoping to find the people worshiping, and he finds them not worshiping. And if you skip, we're just going to skip down to verse 25, and Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had led them out of the control, and so became a laughingstock to their enemies. And so he stood at an entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And the Levites rallied to him. And then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor." And the Levites did as Moses commanded. And that day, about 3,000 people died. I don't know if I have time nor if I have the knowledge to explain to you all of why that happened. But what I see here is that in the anger of the Lord, he allowed retribution, and 3,000 people died at the giving of the law. Now, fast forward to the same anniversary of Pentecost in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to their number. So in the giving of the law, which the Apostle Paul preaches in several places, points out our shortcomings and results in death, it's the giving of the Holy Spirit that is a gift that results in life. Isn't it amazing? 3,000 in the Old Testament died. 3,000 in the New Testament were born again to new life. And then instead of the thunder of the Old Testament, this time in the New Testament, it's the sound of a violent rushing wind. If nothing else in these sermons, I hope that you stand in awe at how God perfectly unfolds his plan to us. In application today, though, I think it might be in our best interest to think about what the giving of the Holy Spirit means. And among many things, I think it means that you and I are to realize that there is a purpose for that celebration of the Old Testament Pentecost and that extra day of rest. We tend to be people who have a hard time resting. We have a hard time resting when we want our will done. We just want to make it done, right? And we say, "Lord, your will be done." And he says, "Wait." And we're like, you know. And then he says, "Be holy." And we are like always trying to figure out how to be holy instead of who makes us holy. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul addresses this idea of the Holy Spirit being a gift that we rest in. And he said, "I would like to learn just one more thing from you." And so he asked a rhetorical question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now not trying to finish by the means of flesh? I think this is an important lesson for us today because we can forget what the power of the Holy Spirit can bring to us. We don't have to earn it, don't have to work for it. We just have to receive the power. Receive the presence of the Holy Spirit brings the power in our lives. In another place, the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled. The Greek there means to constantly being filled with the Spirit. If you find yourself laboring in life to accomplish your will, laboring in your Christian walk to accomplish your holiness, well, we need to stop that and rest. Spend time in his presence. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. And then let him do his work. Let him bring life to you. Let him bring new energy to you. Let him fulfill his will in you. The first Pentecost for Israel, there were signs, wonders, and the presence of God. God gave the law, and it resulted in 3,000 disobeying and dying. But at the first Pentecost for his church, there were signs, wonders, and the presence of God. He gave his Spirit, and 3,000 people receive life. So I pause here for a moment to say we have looked at some amazing things. I think without question, we can see that Jesus fulfilled these festivals. We're going to turn the corner. It's going to get interesting. But the biggest thing I want you to take away from the weeks to come is this. If he fulfilled the festivals that we've already talked about, he will fulfill the festivals that we're going to talk about. I may not get the explanation perfectly right. There's always going to be questions. But I think if you'll just come away from the next 3 or 4 weeks with this, he will fulfill his promises. Would you stand with us today? Lord, we again say thank you for this opportunity that we meet on the first day of the week where we celebrate all these wonderful things. We celebrate your death and resurrection, and may we not underestimate celebrating and experiencing the filling of your presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we follow the directive that you gave to the disciples to wait until you show up. May we spend time with you waiting and welcoming your presence. Fill us with your presence. Give us your power. And then as they left Jerusalem, they took you with them to the ends of the earth. Lord, may we also take your presence wherever we go. In your name we pray. Amen.